Bibles with us tonight in John chapter number 8. We'll try not to be too long tonight. Be no longer than the Lord. That's the biggest lie a preacher ever told, ain't it? Amen. But we try to mind the Holy Spirit and try not to be too long. But praise God, we want to honor him tonight. John chapter 8, if you found John chapter 8, turn, stand with us tonight. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 52. And I tell you what, I'm proud of these young people. They sounding good in that choir. Amen. They are doing an awesome job in this choir, and we just need to let them know. And I tell you, I'm proud of their faithfulness. Amen. They're here, and I thank God for that, and I'm proud of them for being as faithful here as they can be. And I tell you what, just keep up the good work. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing. It makes the devil mad. Amen. And if you're making the devil mad, you're doing something right. Amen. In verse number 52, the Bible says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him, but know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I like that verse number 58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I want to preach that he's always been there. Amen. Tonight, he's always there. And praise God, I'm glad that he was there, and I'm glad that he's here. And praise God, I want him to stop by and visit with us tonight. Our Father, we thank you for this privilege to be in your house. We thank you tonight, dear God, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the hope that you instill within us, because we know you and we are known of you, Lord. We thank you, God, because you called us and brought us up out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit and have set our feet upon the rock. God, we call upon you, for we know that you'll stop by, you'll visit with your people, and you'll stir our hearts tonight and give us what we need to go into this world and to face the world that's before us. We thank you in Jesus' name. We say amen. 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 You may be seated. You know, Abraham is almost like a weapon. How many ever seen that movie True Grit with John Wayne? And I seen that when it first came out. We was a kid. We was visiting some folks up in New York City, and they took us down to Radio City Music Hall, and we seen True Grit up there on that big. I mean, it is the biggest screen. You felt like you were sitting right there in the midst of this whole thing as it was going on. And there's this. It's a story. This girl, her dad got killed, and her lawyer told her to go find this certain marshal, and he would help her recover the stuff that was stolen, and blah blah blah. And she goes and finds old Rooster Cogburn, and stuff. But hey, every time something happens, she just starts telling about her lawyer, J.W. Daggett or something or another, and she keeps going on. And every time there's a problem, every time she confronts some opposition, she says, "My lawyer, J.W. Daggett," and pretty soon old John Wayne says, "Man, you pull him like a gun." Every time something happens, you pull him like a gun. You want to use him like a gun. And you know, that's what the Jews were doing with Abraham. Every time they were questioned, every time they were confronted, they pulled out the Abraham card. Amen. They pulled the Abraham gun. This is going to solve it all. We're Abraham's seed. We belong to Abraham. We're heirs of what Abraham was heir to. We belong to him. So what? Amen. You belong to Abraham, but you're forsaking God. Amen. We had that problem in this world today. Amen. We got people that come to church and they can tell you all about their church. They can tell you all about their preacher. They can tell you all about this and they can tell you all about that, but they cannot tell you about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Amen. You know what? Before the Baptist was, he is. Amen. Before Charlestown Baptist Church was, he is. Amen. Before all things, he was. He has always been there. Amen. And I want to preach on that thought tonight, that he's always there. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by him, amen, and the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Praise God, I'm glad he's always been there. Amen. In Revelation chapter 22, verse number 13, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I have always been there. Amen. I want you to know something tonight. We serve a God that we can depend upon because he has always been there. Amen. We serve a God tonight that we can call upon, and we know he hears our prayers because he's always been there. Amen. He's not a made-up God. He's not a sometime God. He's not a hope-so God, but he is the God. He is the I am God. Amen. And we can rest our faith and be assured of that, regardless of what the world wants to say, regardless of what the atheists say, regardless of what the false religions say. Praise God. Before Abraham was, I am. He's always been there. Do you realize that there is not an event in history that he's not been there for? Amen. In Ahaz's day, Hanani the seer came to remind Ahaz of his sin because he had sought unto the Egyptians. He had sought elsewhere other than God for the help that he needed. And he just got brought up a few of the things that had happened. He said, we're not the Ethiopians and the Lubanums, a huge hope with very much chariots and horsemen. Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out of thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole world, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have war. And let me tell you something. He reminded Asa that in his time, God had always been there. But let me tell you something. I can go all the way back to the beginning, and I know that my God has always been there. Amen. Jesus, I said, I want you to restore. In John 17, he's praying the Lord's Prayer. He says, restore unto me the glory that I have with you before the world. Yes, amen. Amen. There's not a time when he's not been there. When the world was spoken to existence, he was there. Yes. Amen. When man fell in the garden, praise God. He was, Steve, I almost called you tonight, but it was too late. And asked you to bring the words of that song. It was me. Amen. It was me. Y'all know that song? What's his name? Who sings that? I know. Same thing happens to me, brother. Praise God. Oh. He sang Drinking from My Saucer. Michael Combs. Amen. He sings that song, and man, he goes on telling about the story in the song, walking with the two men on the road to Emmaus, and how they are in his presence but don't recognize him, and how he begins to share all these things that happened, and he goes back and he begins to tell them of the mighty things that had happened in history, and he says, that was me. Oh, praise God, I want you to know he was there, amen, when men fell in sin. He was there when Noah went into the ark and the door was shut. Praise God, he was there, amen, when David stood in the valley with the giant. He was there when Daniel was in the lion's den. Hallelujah, he was there. He was with the Hebrew children in the midst of the fire. He was there. There's not a time and a place that you can account for in history when he wasn't there. That's just the things we can read about in the Bible. We can go through history and we can see that he's been there. When Islam was pushing its way into Europe, and do you realize if Islam hadn't been halted, that we probably wouldn't know Christianity the way that we know it today? We're in the same danger today that they were in Charles Martel's day. Anybody ever heard of a fellow by the name of Charles Martel? They call him Charles the Hammer Martel. He was the king of France. And when Islam had done started pushing its way into Europe and was ready to push and get a strong foothold into the European continent, it was he who repelled them. It was he who defeated them so completely and so powerfully that they retreated back into the Middle East and back into parts of the world where they had come from, because he was a man that believed that God would deliver, and he trusted in God for deliverance. Amen. And guess what? He was there. We look at recent history. We can see the great Holocaust that took place as Adolf Hitler had commandeered and had overrun and had just destroyed Europe and killed millions upon millions upon millions. And people say, well, where was God? He was there. He was there. On September 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers fell, I remember my boss calling me up and saying, they've crashed a plane into one of the Twin Towers. You guys can turn the TV on and watch the news if you want. And we flipped the TV on, and as we were sitting there watching the one tower burning, we seen the other plane literally crash into the tower, and listened to the news that day as the towers eventually came running down, and the cry from America, the cry from people, where was God? Let me tell you what, he was there. He wasn't absent what was happening. It was a time that brought America for a short time to its knees and was calling upon his name. Well, let me tell you, there's not a time and an event in history when he hasn't been there. And friend, let me tell you, tonight I know we all have times and issues and things going on in our lives, but there's not a time when he's not there. There's not a time when you can't call on him and say, Lord, help me. There's not a situation where you can't call on him and say, where are you at, God? Can you help me? He's there. Yeah. Hey, man. There's not a place where you can go. Look in Psalm 139 real quick for a minute. Something that the Lord just put on my heart on this message. Back in Psalm 139, verse number 7. Look at what he said. The psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, than that my soul knoweth right well. You know what the psalmist said? He said, it don't matter where I go. He said, it don't matter how dark it gets. You're there. Amen. And you know what? He wants you to know tonight. He's there. Amen. He's there. He's there to meet your need. He's there to answer your prayers. He's there to be a friend. He's there to help. He's there to comfort. The Bible said over in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20. 19:20 says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Now, he tells us we're going to go. Amen. We're going to go. We got to go. We have an obligation to go. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I know he was talking to his disciples, but the application still applies unto us. You know what I found out? When I was in the miry clay, I was in the horrible pit, I was in the depths of sin, he was there. He brought conviction to my old wretched soul. You know, when I got under Holy Ghost conviction, Brother Rick, and he stirred my heart, and I realized that I was a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserved to be in hell. My back broke. And I called upon his name. And I asked him to save me. He was there. You know, when I go through the struggles of life and I have problems, who here has no problems in life? Amen. When I face the problems of life, I face the trials that I go through. My favorite verse always comes to mind. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful for that. When I'm struggling and I'm striving and I'm just not getting anywhere and times are hard, I find he's there and he's a helper. Amen. When I'm in danger, and there's been times in my life that I have been in danger. Anyone here ever not been in danger? I tell you what, we're in danger every day. There's a roaring lion that's seeking to devour us. Amen. When I'm in danger, I praise God, he's there, and he's my protection. Amen. When I go through the storms of life, and I've ride out the waves, and I feel like I'm going down, and I feel like I can't win. Praise God, he's there, and he calms the storms. When I'm sick, and there's no help that can come from any other place. We was talking about this today up at the house with Charles and Denise about kidney stones. I remember the first kidney stone I ever had. I was at work, and I was doing something out of the ordinary. I'm a mechanic, and I do mechanic work, and we got to lay in some concrete block. Me and another fellow, we knew how to do it, and we was going to build a dyno room to dyno engines, and I thought, well, it's just I'm not used to bending over and laying these blocks, and my back is hurting, and man, it got to aching, and it got to hurting, and by lunchtime, I was sick to my stomach, and my head was a-throbbing, and I was hurting so bad. About 2 o'clock, the boy that rode with me said, man, you're looking rough. I said, we're getting out of here. I said, we got to go. And he come and he said, well, you want me to drive? I said, please. We come down the road and we pass 213. He says, you want me to just take you on over to the hospital? He said, man, he said, you're looking really bad. I said, no, just get me home. Just get me home. And Deb said, the first thing I said when I walked in the door was, why did I pass a perfectly good hospital to come home? Amen. I was in agony, and I was suffering. I was a-hurting. I went into the bedroom, and I was just sweating. I just broke out in sweat, and my clothes were soaked from sweating. And I said, dear God, I need some relief. I can't deal with it anymore. And you know what? I'm not lying to you one bit. God is my witness. It was just like somebody flipped the switch. Amen. You know what I found? He was there. Amen. You know what I realized? The great physician showed right up. You know what I knew when he showed up? That he took the pain away. He took the hurting away. And he met the need that I had. Now, he might not always do that. And I don't, I'm just thankful that he did. Amen. But you know what? It don't bother me what kind of healing he gives me. Amen. I'm ready. And I know that when I get ready to face death, and I go through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, he's going to be there. Amen. The psalmist said, yea, though I go to the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. You know why? Because you're going to be there. Amen. Death has no power. Death has no hold. Why? Because you're going to be there. What did the psalmist say there in Psalm 139? He said, even when I'm in the darkness, and I think the darkness could be light, it doesn't matter because to you, it don't matter anyway. Amen. Amen. God has the power to do all things. He saved my soul. Amen. He gave me hope. And you know what? When I step onto the streets of that glory world, you know what the most glorious thing about heaven is going to be? He's going to be there. Amen. He's going to be there. He's going to be there, and we get to bow at his feet. Remember there what we read in Revelation chapter 4 this morning? They got to bow at his feet. They got to praise him. They got to cast their crowns at his feet. They were honored to be in his presence. They were honored to see the one who had redeemed mankind from the curse of sin. He was there. He was on his throne. And praise God, they were there to get the opportunity and the privilege of worshiping him. Folks, you know, we got a revival. And man, this isn't just a revival, this is a revival. Somebody asked me today, said, well, Pastor, how many people are you expecting? I'm expecting the house full. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. I'm expecting him to do some great things in some people's lives. Why? Because I believe he's going to be there. Amen. Amen. I believe he's going to be there. And because he's going to be there, I want to be there. Man, I'm already looking for it. I'm just sorry it ain't starting tomorrow. Amen. If y'all ain't been able to tell, I've been excited. God has just stirred my heart about this meeting. It's different than anything that we've ever done. But you know what? He's going to be here. Yes. And I want him to be able to work in hearts and souls. Yes. How about tonight? How about tonight we look in our hearts? We look in our heart, we examine ourselves. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your mama. Don't worry about your kids. Don't worry about grandma or grandpa. Don't worry about your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Don't worry about anybody else right now. Just worry about you. And let me ask you this question. Look at your heart. Look at your heart. You look at your heart. Is he there? Is he there? Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But you know what? If you got sin in your life, it hinders and breaks that fellowship. God told his people, Israel, your sins have separated. Amen. Is he there? Is he close? Is he where he wants to be? Is he there? Mom and dad, is he there? Teenager? Young person? Is he there? Amen. Most important question. There's not a place and a time in history where he's never been there. There's not a heart that's never been touched, never been brought under conviction, that he hasn't been there to do it. There's not a life that has ever been saved that he wasn't the one that saved it. But tonight, is he there? Is he there? You see, Revelations chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." He wasn't talking to the lost people. He was talking to the church. Is he there? Is he there? See, we just take it for granted that he's always going to be there. But he'll only be there if we allow him to be there. We're getting ready to go into a great meeting. And I want it to be more than a great meeting. I want it to be a great revival. See, there's a difference between a meeting and a revival. Meeting, we just show up. Revival, something happens. Amen. But let's not be the hindrance to God moving in people's lives, because he wants to be there and we haven't let him in. He wants to be there and we haven't given the invitation. He wants to be there and we're so put off with everything else that we hinder him doing what he wants to do. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Our heads are bowed.